I guess a lot of YouTubers are going out and snagging brand deals, but I found that if you have a core audience and it's really clear who your audience is, and my audience is like crazy clear. As long as that's clear and people want to reach that audience, as long as you put your email address or somebody's email address like on your YouTube page, a ton of brands are going to reach out to you over time. And so that's how I did it.
Hey, welcome to the Video Entrepreneur Podcast powered by Uscreen.tv. This is your host, Rob Balasabas, Head of Partnerships here at Uscreen. In this episode, we have Brad Colbo joining me to talk about building an online business, as well as how he's grown his YouTube channels, one to over 600,000 subscribers, and a newer one to over 300,000 subscribers in just over a year. Brad filled the gap in the market when he built his channel around reviewing all things tech for creative people. So he is an illustrator, a graphic designer, of course a YouTuber, and a creative entrepreneur. And so this should be a really good conversation. And so without further ado, let's go meet Brad. So Brad, glad to have you on the podcast. Yeah. It has been a while because I think we actually met on Clubhouse.
We did.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
And that was like a year ago because that was last winter. Like spring when Clubhouse was kind of hot and I was active on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny how things, you know, kind of work out. And then we got talking about your YouTube channel and I saw that you had this massive YouTube channel. And then I think at that time you decided, or you just recently launched your second channel, which is now over 300,000 subscribers, which is crazy. So, crazy how, you know, how this all works. But, before we jump into some of the questions and some of the things I wanted to chat with you about, why don't you take a couple minutes and just introduce yourself, what your channel's about, and kind of, you know, a bit about your journey on YouTube.
Yeah. So my name is Brad, and I review tech for creative professionals. And several years back, I was just kind of fiddling around on YouTube. And I found a niche, just dumb luck, basically reviewing tech from the point of view of graphic designers and illustrators and creatives in that niche. There were a lot of videos already in that niche, but they were people who might get like a drawing tablet or an iPad or something like that. And then they'd do a quick review and then they'd move on. But there was nowhere where you could like go to get reviews of people just looking at that hardware or people talking about software updates or that sort of thing. And that kind of became my niche. And over the years, it was a side hustle, just something to do on the side. And it grew into a job. And about 3 years back, I just went full time into it. And then about a year ago, like you mentioned, I decided to split my channel in half because I did a lot of tutorials in my early days. And what you tend to find on YouTube is the more you niche down in something, the more your channel grows and the more it kind of finds that audience. And what I found was I was serving two niches at once. And so I decided I got to break the channel in half with content for learning going in one direction and content for, you know, software and hardware and updates going in another direction. So this is now my job. This is the career. I've been doing it for, you know, it feels like a long time, but it's only been, you know, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah. No, that's a long time in YouTube land, right?
Yeah.
So that's a very long time. What was your, I guess, day job before you went full time and all in with being a content creator?
Yeah, I was a UX designer. So I started in graphic design and I graduated in the early 2000s. And so I kind of fell into web design because that's where all the design work was at the time. And then over time, I just kind of evolved and had several jobs and I was freelancing, which I think for me, whenever I hear an entrepreneur story, I'm always like, yeah, but how did you start? Like you'll hear people tell this story about like, and then I started a company and I'm like, okay, but when you started that company, before you got a client, how'd you pay the bills? And so for me, I was freelancing and I was doing contract work. And I was kind of, usually I was like the token designer, UI, UX designer on a team of developers. And so my work would ebb and flow. And sometimes I'd have a ton of work and sometimes I wouldn't have a lot of work. And so I worked on YouTube on the side. And over the course of 2 or 3 years, I built that up to the point where I said, I can take this leap now. Like this income can't quite replace the income I had when I was freelancing. But if I can go full time on it, I have enough where I keep a, you know, roof over my head and food on the table and I'm good. And then I can kind of build it up over the next few months to replace my other lost income. And, And that's kind of how I went about it.
Yeah, I really respect the entrepreneurs that make that big leap. It is a very scary and big leap. You don't have me asking, what was sort of, where was your side hustle in terms of your full-time income? Was that like generating, 50%, 70, 80% of your full-time income before you made that leap? And
yeah, I would
sort of just had faith that...
I would say it was about 60%. I had a number in mind. So a couple things happened that last year before I went solo or full on YouTube. I was working too hard. I did not have a good work life balance that year. Mm-hmm. And so the client projects were rolling in, and especially in tech, the ad revenue you get from YouTube and the sponsorships and all that stuff, it all hits in October, November, December. Like that's where you make like the big bucks. Right. And so what I decided was, as I was coming up on that time, like in August, I wound down to just one web design project that wrapped up in September. And I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to full-time YouTube for the next 3 months, because I know I'm going to be making, 20, 30% more on YouTube in the next 3 months than I usually make. And so I know I can get away with this. Also, since I was working so hard in the months beforehand, that year, working client work and working YouTube and having that kind of passive YouTube income on the side, I was able to build up my bank account as well. And so by the time I hit the end of the year, or the beginning of, what year was it, 2019? I don't even remember the years anymore. Whatever the beginning of that year was, when things started to slow down, I thought, I'm going to just put the pedal to the metal. I've got the savings, and let's see where things go. And if I can coast through January, February, March, and get to April where things start to build up again, I think I'm going to be fine. And that's pretty much how I did it. And then, I never really looked back at that point.
That's incredible. So fast forward us to now. So what does your business look like now? Yeah. Sort of what does your week look like? How many videos are cranking out each week or each month? How has it sort of evolved since you made that big leap?
Yeah. So the evolution is just basically grow every piece of the pie. So, and the pie consists of ad revenue direct, or the AdSense revenue directly from the ads that run from the videos. That's one slice. Mm-hmm. The second slice, and the thing that really allowed me to kind of jump early, was online courses. Because of the stuff I talk about, online courses just are a perfect fit. Some channels, they're a good fit for merch. Some channels are a good fit for, everybody's kind of got their own thing. And for me, online courses are just like the perfect fit. And so that was a big chunk of the pie, and probably the main chunk. And then the other piece at the time was much, much smaller, but the occasional brand deal. And then over the course of the last 3 years, I think that's changed. The courses have kind of remained about the same size. AdSense revenue has grown, but the big thing that's expanded have been brand deals and working on those and kind of getting that flowing and learning how to make clients happy and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a really simple way to look at it, actually. You've got three levers to kind of pull on, and some of them, I guess the AdSense and the YouTube partnership program is probably the one that you can control the least, would you
Absolutely.
Say, just because it is a bit unpredictable. Yep. Yeah. But assuming that your channel continues to grow each month and you have new videos and new subscribers, that should
slowly,
theoretically grow.
Slowly goes up.
Yeah. Yeah, slowly go up. So in terms of courses, fantastic way to really, leverage technology to, be in more places than, at the same time for you, right? To teach people.
Right.
That's great. But I really would love to hear more about the sponsorships and brand deals, because I think that's a big topic right now for creators and especially for our audience. Describe your first deal. How did that come about?
So the very first deal was with a company called Paperlike, who is still sponsoring with me. And
Beautiful.
I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're basically screen protectors for iPads, but they're designed for art and illustration, basically. So an iPad has like a really slick, beautiful glass screen. The Apple Pencil is hard plastic. And so it doesn't feel organic at all when you're drawing on it. And so Paperlike is basically a protector that goes over it, and you can, it just feels so much better to draw on that texture than it does to draw on just a raw screen. So they were the very first, I forget, it was like a $200 or $400 to be in one video sort of a thing. And they've been with me ever since. And we did several integrations back this fall when new iPads rolled out. So yeah, they've been solid for me. The other deal that I really remember, like my first big deal, was with this website domain company, and they gave me like a URL to use, and it was like a 4-video deal, and it was like, I was like, oh man, I'm a fantastic salesman. I just got this amazing deal. It's 4 videos, and I do this, and I got a URL out of it. And it was interesting because in retrospect, there are things in that deal that aren't bad necessarily, but I would never do now that I kind of understand the space a little bit more. But that was the one that stuck out to me and ended up kind of pushing me in a direction that I didn't expect to go. I'm now working with an agency that handle all of my brand deals. So even if I bring someone in or I'm talking to someone, at some point I'm like, hey, I'd like you to meet, you know, my rep. This person, you know, like you guys talk it out. You guys figure out the details.
My people will talk to your people.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I did not expect to go that route when I started. I was really, because I was a freelancer, I was used to writing contracts. I was used to doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But as I got deeper into this, I mean, we could dive into it because I've got examples.
Yeah.
That first brand deal I was talking about, some of the things in that, in the legalese on that was that they wanted me, at the time I was doing like an email newsletter. It still exists, but it's a more automated thing. I'm not doing like weekly updates and that sort of thing anymore. They said, hey, we want the URL to be in each weekly newsletter, like prominently feature your URL. And I was like, well, that's no problem because I'm pushing people to the URL. They wanted it to be at the beginning and the end of every video for 2 years. And I was like, it's a great URL. I'm pushing people there to buy my courses anyway. Absolutely. Let's do it. So all of the things were good for me. But as I got in there, I realized the deal says that I have to use their URL in one email a week. So that means I have to produce one email a week. That means I have to put the, if I come up with an intro for a video, because sometimes I just ditch the intro, because sometimes you're editing a video and that's just the flow of things and you don't want to interrupt the story or the interest to put the intro up, right? So I'll just, that happens a lot, probably about 25% of the time. I'll just pull the intro out if I feel like it's too disruptive and just, you know, flow into the story. I can't, but I'm contractually obligated to run this thing at the beginning of my videos, you know? And so I was finding weird ways to do that. Like instead of like putting it all on the side, you know, at the 5-second mark or whatever. And so, and then other brands come along and they want to do similar things. And all of a sudden you realize after you've worked with, you know, a handful of brands, you're like, you've got a checklist of things you've got to do for every video or every email or every marketing thing you do. And it gets really complicated quick, you know, when you start to add that up. So even though that initial deal wasn't bad for me, like it was a really good deal. I was very happy with it at the time. I did learn a lot from it as far as like just how to kind of organize things so that you don't create more work for yourself in the long term or shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah. Yeah. The brand deals are very lucrative, but it can be very tricky, right? Mm-hmm. There's, like you said, like, I'm sure it was kind of awkward, or I mean, not awkward, right. But like, I'm sure like when other brands are like, hey, we'd love to be in your intro.
Yep.
It's like, this is how much we would like to pay. It's like, ooh, yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Tell us. Okay. So, just kind of dig into that a bit more. At what point in your channel, like how many subscribers, kind of describe how that looked, that snapshot of that first deal.
Yeah.
And also, did the brand reach out to you? Were you actively reaching out to brands for brand deals for that first one?
Almost all the time the brands have reached out to me. I haven't been proactive about it. And I've talked to smaller channels, and this goes back to we were talking in the intro, and I don't know if this was recorded, but you and I met on Clubhouse last year, right?
Yeah.
And there were a lot of like channels or rooms, I guess is the proper term, on Clubhouse, where people talk about brand deals. And I guess a lot of YouTubers are going out and snagging brand deals. But I found that if you have a core audience and it's really clear who your audience is, and my audience is like crazy clear, like everybody, you know, it's like, oh, he reviews stuff with pens. Okay. Illustrators, graphic designers, we got it. You know, that's who we're trying to reach. As long as that's clear and people want to reach that audience, as long as you put your email address or somebody's email address like on your YouTube page, a ton of brands are going to reach out to you over time. And so that's how I did it. And, yeah, that seemed to work pretty well. And I like it that way because I think there's something to it. Cause I do know people who have gone the other way where they use a product over and over again, like someone who's doing audio stuff. And they're like, man, I use this padding all the time to stop the echo in my room, you know, and reaching out to that brand to sponsor their thing makes total sense. But yeah, I never really hit that point, mostly because I guess 4 years ago, I had no idea what I was doing. Like I didn't, I think the community of YouTubers has grown so much, just how much we talk to each other and how much we kind of share information and that sort of thing. And how we do this job and how it is a job now, there's so much more information than there was just a few years ago.
Yeah, it's actually really refreshing to see that there are more conversations between creators about money. And I know it's not maybe done, it's not public. It's they're not publishing these conversations or you know, calls or doing it on live streams. But I do see, I've been, you know, I have a core group of creator friends, and we share discussions around money and brand deals and how much they're getting proposed, you know, and to do certain things, which is really good. I think transparency on that is good. You know, I think for even I'm on both sides, you know, as a creator myself on my personal channel, but also as a brand representing a brand, it really does help to have an understanding of value for a viewer, a subscriber. What does that look like, you know, and all the different things. And so, yeah, no, that's really important. That's really important. I'd like to shift, because you mentioned community, and this is something I've always wondered with larger channels like yours. I mean, you have multiple, you have two. How do you manage that community? You know, how do you manage to grow and nurture the community, even just on YouTube, right? All the comments and all the, I'm sure people are reaching out to you on Instagram. I mean, commenting on everything. So what does that look like for you?
I love the community. I think every YouTuber does, just because it so many good elements to it. But at the same time, I haven't really done a ton. I had a Discord for a while, and I decided to go in a different direction there, just because I realized moderating a Discord is kind of a full-time job. And I appointed some mods, and then like they were great people, but then, you know, they're still like, okay, this kid is acting up over here. What do we do? And that everything still kind of bounces back to you because they don't want to mess up your Discord, right? And so like getting really like in the weeds with the community, I found to be kind of hard. Like it's easy to reply to comments. It's easy to talk to people on Twitter. I'm really bad about Instagram DMs. I've just kind of declared Instagram DM bankruptcy. unless like I follow the person and it comes directly to that inbox, but the other one, it's really hard to follow.
You just gave up.
I did. I feel bad about it at a certain point, but you just kind of to.
I totally understand.
And, you just kind of stay on top of those little things and try to communicate the best you can. What I think is amazing about my community is that I'm an illustrator, right? I'm known as an illustrator, but I kind of fell backwards into this. You know, I was a designer who liked to draw stuff, and all of a sudden I'm reviewing this tech just because I saw an opening for it. Like nobody was talking about these things, and I wanted someone to talk about these things. The community just kind of built around that. And what I have found is that I have been very open with the community about like my insecurities around my drawing skills, right? I am not a great artist. I'm a learning artist. And so whenever I learn something, like right now this year, my New Year's resolution is to learn 3D modeling and those sorts of things, because a lot.
Blender. Yes. Right? Is it Blender?
I'm learning Blender.
I saw your post.
Oh my gosh, it's so much
Very
fun.
Very cool. It looks so cool. Yeah.
Talk about an amazing job. Like, this is the slow time of year for me. And so I just decided, okay, 2 or 3 days a week, I'm not going to do any real work. I'm just going to learn Blender. So I'm just drawing like houses and characters and creating flowers and stuff like that. And like, this is my job. Next week, I have to stop following tutorials and doing fun stuff. And I have to actually make a video on it. But right now, today, I was having a lot of fun playing in Blender.
Awesome.
But the other cool thing about the community, though, is how many people on Twitter have just like seen me starting from nothing. And just in the last 2 weeks have been like, okay, I'm going to start this too. That is amazing.
That's cool.
You know, to know that, because there's so many people like, well, I think everybody's like this. Like, there's a thing you see and you're like, I want to try that. But oftentimes when you go to YouTube to find someone who's been doing it, they've been doing it for like 10 years. They're so good at it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're amazing.
Yeah.
But then you see someone like me who's, I have no idea about 3D, and you see me kind of jump in there. I think that inspires folks to see someone being like, I'm going to learn this. And it's kind of cool to see other people jumping in and doing the same.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. I think that's sort of the evolution of a creator. I remember a conversation with another creator. His name is Dusty Porter. And he, in a podcast, he said something around, I'm going to butcher the quote, but something around like, you know, a good creator can grow subscribers, but a great creator can inspire more creators, something like that. So basically it's like, hey, like, yeah, you can learn about my stuff or get entertained, but you know, the really good creators can almost inspire more creators, right? For us to create our own channels, create our own content and share a story. So
I'm still going
to steal
that.
That's cool to hear.
I'm going to steal that.
I totally butchered that. So Dusty, if you're listening, I'm sure we'll find the episode, but this is good. I'd love to just really touch quickly on this. I mean, we're not even scratching. We're talking about your main channel, but your second channel that you started last year, how did you grow this to almost 330,000 subscribers at the time of this recording?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
So step one, I already had an audience, which makes it so much easier. And it was an audience that, so what was happening on my main channel is whenever, so I'll take three steps back here. Tech, amazing niche to be in on YouTube, but I love throwing time and energy at videos, like really polishing videos. I had animated parts and jokes and the stuff that takes time, right? And what I found is like a review would come out, and that review, a review does well if it's timely. So if I published an iPhone review today, it's not going to get any views. But if I published an iPhone review within a week of it, you know, landing, it's going to get a ton of views because that's when everybody's watching that content. And so in tech, the most important aspect to getting views and growing that audience is being timely and being able to put out something like within, you know, the window that everybody's looking at it. And then slowly over time, so it's not evergreen content. Now, the second channel, those tutorials, how to draw, my art school, that is all evergreen. And so I don't mind, like, those are full, those videos are kind of a mix between a Saturday morning cartoon and an art tutorial. So they're completely animated, very roughly animated. It's not sophisticated animation in any way. And they're like, it was cool because I got to hire voice actors. I got my daughter on there as one of the characters, you know? And so it's like, I'm teaching a classroom of animals and they're learning art. But I love doing those kind of videos, even though they take like 3 or 4 weeks to produce like one video, because I know that video is going to be just as relevant 6 months or 6 years from now as it is today. And so that was the hard thing with my channel is and YouTube tends to kind of push you into a niche, and that niche I had was tech, and it's a great niche to be in, but I would publish a tutorial and no matter how much time I spent on it, it wouldn't get the views because the initial group of people who subscribed to my channel, like the larger chunk of that audience, was just interested in the tech part. They weren't as interested in the tutorial part. And so what happens is then the algorithm kind of says, well, the click-through rate's not that great, so we're just not going to promote it. So what I found over time is every month, it was harder and harder to get a tutorial to do well on the channel And yet I saw other channels just killing it doing that. And so that's why I decided to kind of break it off. Now, how did it grow? One, I had a core audience that was ready for that content, that knew it was coming, that saw me in my videos, you know, promoting it for weeks or months before it launched. Then it launches. So like day one, I already had like 6,000 subscribers when that first video hit. So I was already monetized before like videos up there, you know. And that also tells YouTube, hey, here's a bucket of people that all like this piece of content. And these people have this in common, and they're all watching this new piece of content. So let's spread it out to other people. And that's one of the hardest things about starting a new channel, is getting that initial traction. So I think that helped me to kind of inform the algorithm. This is an art channel. This is a tutorial channel. And these are the type of people who like it. Spread it out there. The second thing that really grew that channel was just really good timing. Shorts were just kind of taking off. And at the time, YouTube was pushing them hard in the app. They probably still are. But there weren't any shorts on the platform. And so I did a handful of shorts. And so I hit like 100,000 views in like April, or 100,000 subscribers by April. So that initial push, like from my subscriber base, maybe got me about 10,000 subscribers. And then it slowly grew. But then by the end of February, I started putting out some shorts, then March, and then April, and the shorts just kind of took off. And all the shorts are basically ads for the long form videos. And a lot of those people have come back to watch those long form videos. And I can see you're on the site now, and like the worst performing video on that channel, I think, has 100,000 views, which is a really good, like my other channel doesn't have that. There's something to be said about, I think there's an expectation on this channel that I have set that these are going to be highly polished videos. And even if you're not into this topic, you're into the style of the video, you're into the personality of the characters. So I'm playing with some different things. It's grown a lot faster than I expected. And with that said, there's no business model around it yet. It was just kind of a, hey, this would be a fun thing to do. So it makes a tiny fraction of what the other channel does. And so I'm still kind of at this point where it exists. It could be its own business, but there's no business model around it. And so it's just kind of sitting there right now. Making me ad revenue.
Yeah, which is not a bad problem to have. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. No, it's just been really impressive to see. I mean, I remember you launching this last year, and it already had some traction. But to see it now at almost, 330,000 subs is incredible. You mentioned community. I do remember you mentioning a guy on Instagram, Rishi Draws. Yeah, and I started following him, and we have an iPad Pro, and my son and my daughter love Procreate, and they've been like learning everything. They're drawing me, and like they're selling their drawings of people as Simpsons characters, side hustle that they've got going on. but it's just been really entertaining for me just to watch. It's almost like relaxing to watch people draw on Procreate and stuff. And so same thing with your shorts and your animations here. It's just like, I probably won't be a very like good illustrator, but it's just entertaining to kind of watch and see how you do that. So yeah, it's great. And I can really tell you enjoy what you're doing, Brad. It really comes off like it's not even a job for you, it seems like.
Right, so, right.
It's beautiful. This has been really good. I think, the success that you've had finding the really specific niche, and kind of it seems like you went from tech to then more like very, very niche into what you're doing. And my takeaway from this is just how you've simplified those revenue streams. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of creators try to do everything.
Oh, yeah.
Merch, swag, Patreon, all that stuff. But you've got three. Patreon, yeah, all the, you know, but you've got three, and I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from me. And so, you know, I'd like to invite our listeners, our viewers, you know, let us know what the takeaway was from Brad's, you know, what Brad has shared here in terms of what you might apply to your business and your content. But Brad, before we do that, I've got one last question, but before we do that, I'd love for you just to share where folks can find you if they want, you know, after this this episode, and where they can connect with you, follow some of the things that you're doing. And then I've got one last question.
Yeah. For you. So on YouTube, I'm Brad Colbo, and that's probably the best place. That's where I'm producing the most content. That's my primary channel. The other channel, if you want to learn art or just see what I've been talking about, Brad's Art School is the other channel. And then I'm on Instagram and Twitter. Not quite as active on those platforms, but always hanging out there. I'm more of a consumer on other platforms than a producer.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, you got to consume some,
right? That's
right. You
know, I consume way too much. So there you go. I love it.
No, it's great. It's great. Okay, my last question for you is, where do you see, you know, the future of online videos, and where is this whole space going? Whether it's just like your niche, you know, that you're in, or just in general, YouTube, online videos. Where do you think it's going to be going in the next, you know, few years?
I'm going to sound really dreamy here, but I think it is the future. I think it's already replacing, you know, traditional television. I think these creator funds that YouTube started it with sharing AdSense revenue. But like you've seen everybody jump on the creator funds bandwagon. You, obviously TikTok's doing it. Instagram's doing it. Facebook's Instagram. Now doing it. You've got, even I think Spotify does it. You can now do this with podcasts. People are trying to make it easier for creators to make money because they've discovered that if creators can make money on their platform, more creators will come to their platform, and the more creators on their platform, the more that will rise up. But you know, people get, the more you do it, the better you get at it. Right. And, so I think this is really the future. Is I don't know whether TikTok's going to be as big as it is 10 years from now, or YouTube's still going to be the big thing. But as far as online video, that's the medium. It's going to be online, yeah, and it's going to be video.
Yeah, it's not going anywhere. Yeah. That's for sure. That's for sure. Amazing. Well, Brad, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed the conversation. Yeah. It's great catching up with you, and I'm so happy for all the success. Excited to see it grow even more.
Same with you. Years. Same with you. Thank you.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Brad. Make sure you are subscribed to the show so you don't miss any of the new episodes as they're published. And if you want to learn more about using Uscreen for your business, or if you want to join our affiliate partner program, head over to uscreen.link/podcast to get more information. And I'll see you in the next episode.